Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Roughly three quarters of the staff at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center have been laid off, according to former employees with knowledge of the situation. Most people who lost their jobs were rangers. Their role is to interface with visitors, respond to medical events, and maintain trail and wildlife awareness. About 700,000 tourists per year visit the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center in the Tongass National Forest. The spokesperson for the Tongass National Forest, which oversees visitor center operations, referred media comments to the U.S. Forest Service National Media Office. A spokesperson from the U.S. Department of Agriculture could not give location-specific numbers. Instead, they sent a statement of support of the Trump administration's decision to cut 2,000 Forest Service jobs nationwide. Bartlett Regional Hospital's board voted last night to incrementally pay back $2 million to the city and borough of Juneau over the next 3 years. The city owns the hospital, but it's managed independently and overseen by a board of directors. Last fiscal year, the Juneau Assembly transferred the money to the city-owned hospital when it was facing a multi-million-dollar financial crisis. It was not a loan, and the hospital was not required to pay any of it back. But Bartlett CEO Joe Wanner wants to pay the city back anyway and proposed the idea at the meeting. He says the hospital is currently in a much better place financially and can afford to do it. The hospital has been making steady positive income for the last 8 months. Last spring, hospital leaders announced that they needed to solve the multi-million-dollar budget deficit or the hospital would be forced to close its doors. The hospital's board corrected course by cutting back on staff and controversially closing programs it said were draining money. Wanner said the city is now facing its own issues like financing glacial outburst flood mitigation. He says giving back the money would show the hospital's support to the community. The board approved the payback plan unanimously, but some members were hesitant at first. They worried the move could come back to bite the hospital if it finds itself in a tight spot again. Congressman Nick Begich III told the Alaska legislature today the state has become too dependent on federal spending. The comments in his first address to state lawmakers come as Alaskans reckon with the effects of Trump's broad efforts to cut government and consolidate his power. Begich encouraged anyone affected by the cuts to reach out to his office, but in broad terms, he supported the cost-cutting initiatives of the Trump administration. Days after House Republicans released a budget plan that would add roughly $3 trillion to the federal deficit, Begich called the government's current level of spending unsustainable.
In the short term, we need to make sure that we have the federal support that we need. But I think this moment highlights the fact that Alaska has become too federally dependent, and we need to increase the diversity of that mix with the private sector.
With that, Begich delivered a very different message than the state's congressional delegation has in prior legislative addresses. Instead of trumpeting the dollars he steered to Alaska, Begich had to explain why money previously set aside for Alaska projects by Congress isn't flowing. At the same time, though, Begich offered support for sustaining and expanding aid and infrastructure programs for Alaskans, like the Essential Air Service and the ferry system. Begich also said he supported adding work requirements to Medicaid, the federal and state insurance program supporting children and the poor. He said they would make the programs more sustainable.
The taxpayers are working and paying the taxes. They expect people who receive welfare benefits who are able to work to do so.
Begich applauded the Trump administration's work to remove restrictions on resource development. He said restrictions on things like drilling, mining, and logging were part of the reason the state's economy remains dependent on the federal government. After he addressed state lawmakers, Begich spoke with community members in Juneau at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon. He addressed regional concerns like child care and proposed bolstering the logging industry in southeast Alaska. He told Juneau residents the Trump administration might be able to expedite solutions to the glacial outburst flooding in the Mendenhall Valley. He called the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' current 5 to 10 year timeline to study and address the disaster unacceptable.
I think that we do have an administration that has decided that they're not going to adhere to too much red tape. So in this instance, it could be very helpful for moving things quickly.
He's set to meet with a flood mitigation working group in Juneau later this week. He says he will bring what he learns from them back to D.C. to advocate for the region. And a panel of Civil Rights and Immigration Act advocates addressed how immigration policy changes from the Trump administration may affect Alaskans. They presented to a crowd of about 50 community members at the University of Alaska Southeast yesterday. The policy changes mean that Alaskans who were previously legally allowed to be here may be at risk for deportation. The panel focused on what individuals, schools, churches, and businesses can do legally to prepare their communities for encounters with immigration enforcement. Mara Kimmel from the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska said there isn't evidence of immigration enforcement efforts in Juneau at this time, but people across the state are still scared.
So many of our friends and fellow Alaskans, family members, communities are living in serious fear. And a lot of that fear is because we don't know what's coming. And so the best thing that we can do is to make sure that each and every one of us is prepared.
Kimmel says the Trump administration recently changed a policy that barred U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers from enforcing immigration laws in schools, churches, and hospitals. Now those spaces are not protected.
They can no longer assume that they are off the map for immigration enforcement.
Kimmel recommends clearly labeling private spaces within these organizations. ICE officers would have to present a signed judicial warrant to access private spaces. Issa Spatrasano is the Alaska Refugees Coordinator. She says the Trump administration has ended the refugee admissions program. That closes off one of the main ways refugees can legally enter the country. And it had immediate effects on people who are about to leave their country of origin.
This has serious implications in our state. There were 22 individuals who had flights booked, to the state of Alaska, whose flights were then removed as a result of that.
Those are people who've been waiting an average of 17 years to get refugee status to come to the U.S. Many, she said, have family in Alaska who've been waiting for them. The majority of immigrants in Juneau who have fled unsafe conditions in their home countries are here under two temporary statuses, Spatrasano said. Humanitarian parole is a program the administration ended in January. Temporary protected status is a program based on the person's country of origin. Trump has ended TPS for people from Venezuela. At this time, people under humanitarian parole or an ended TPS status have the rest of their allotted time before they would have to leave. However, Spatrasano said the Department of Homeland Security has implied that the administration may move to revoke status, leaving people with no warning before their status becomes invalid. Kimmel pointed to resources on the ACLU website for immigrants and those who work with them to use to prepare for immigration enforcement encounters. And the Southeast Island community of Petersburg called a town hall meeting last week to discuss the future of tourism in Alaska's Little Norway. The local borough is currently considering a potential partnership with a small cruise ship company and may see more tourists in coming years. KFSK's Olivia Rose attended the town hall and has this report.
I know nobody likes to be in the front, but...
About 60 people are packed in Petersburg's Assembly Chambers to talk about the future of local tourism.
Glad we have good attendance. This is an important topic in Petersburg. I felt anyway, because you hear our neighbors complaining about, you know, too much.
That's Petersburg's mayor, Mark Jensen.
I think the whole community should be involved in this discussion.
He says he called the town hall to hear from locals about their thoughts on tourism in general, and also as an opportunity to weigh in on potential changes coming to town, asking how the industry has affected the people and businesses in the community and what potentially having more tourists, especially from cruise ships, might mean. Scores of locals offer their thoughts. One after another, speakers emphasize and echo the importance of balance, management, and especially local control.
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 Controlled growth. And that's what you need. And that's what you must have.
They say controlling the growth protects Petersburg from potentially having more tourists than the town can really handle, or of the borough selling out to non-local corporations that might take more than give to the community. Several representatives of small local businesses explain that it's because of the summer swell of tourists that they're able to stay open for local patrons during the off-season. Madeline Valentine, co-owner of Viking Travel, puts it this way.
Being able to go down to a hardware store, to a grocery store, to a bookstore, shop for clothing, etc., that is sustained by tourists. We'd like to think it's from us, but it is from the visitors to our town. So just a reminder that the dollars that are being spent in the town are going a lot further than just the business owners here. It's allowing everyone the opportunity to have these amenities year round, you know.
And representatives from Petersburg's Chamber of Commerce echo their support for increased tourism in town.
And this is an area of opportunity we need to expand and grow and just not ignore.
Sarah Holmgren is the president of the chamber, the school board president, and a small business owner in town.
It has untapped potential to bring in more revenue, and additional revenue prevents job cuts, program cuts, and allows you and the rest of us to continue to grow and fund school district. It helps small businesses grow and expand, and thereby employees of those businesses will continue to live and work here.
Holmgreen says that the chamber passed a resolution supporting a potential project between the Petersburg Borough and a longtime port caller, American Cruise Lines. The cruise company brings in a few vessels each summer with about 170 passengers. The company approached the borough last fall about a potential partnership to build a dock and float for their ships to use while in port in Petersburg. The borough would own the dock and could use it off-season. American Cruise Lines is scheduled to visit Petersburg more frequently in the coming summers, and the new build could also potentially help reduce congestion at a nearby dock that cruise ships have to share with the commercial fishing fleet. Kristen Mara is with the cruise company. She emphasizes that the dock would be the borough's.
I've heard a lot of folks ask about control tonight, and we never own the infrastructure once it's built. So it's always a public facility. So that's one thing to note.
Mara says the company and its customers are attracted to Petersburg as is, and assures the room they don't want to change that.
We value what you have here. We want to be a part of it. We want to have more of a home here. And we just want a safe, reliable place where we can dock and again, not create conflict on your waterfront.
And Petersburg Harbor Master, Glo Wolin, offers some reassurance of her own to the room as well.
And know that your harbor mother is taking care of you and your children's children as long as I'm here. So
the new dock plan is very much still in its early stages. American Cruise Line submitted a formal application to the borough earlier this month. It'll first go before the Planning Commission, and there will be a public hearing before any actionable decision is made. As for tourism's future in Alaska's Little Norway, borough leadership expects the conversation to continue. In Petersburg, I'm Olivia Rose.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 40 degrees and raining just a little bit. It looks like later tonight, the chance of precipitation is around 100%, with winds between 10 and 20 miles an hour. Tomorrow and the weekend look rainy as well, with temperatures around the low 40s. This is KTOO.